Hello, and welcome to It Starts With You, with me, Mark Hopkins. And as a result of four people, admittedly, out of my audience, I've got a fair audience. It's just no one ever listens all at once. They all listen when they want to listen. And I think that's the case of podcasts, really, isn't it? Everyone listens when they want to listen. As a result of that, they want to hear more. And I want to do more as well, solo podcasts. Hopefully once a week, if not twice a month at least, just to keep the podcast mind going, and then hopefully have some guests brought in. But I think this medium of sound is getting better and better and better and better. More and more people are listening to podcasts than ever now, and same with radio as well. More and more people are listening to radio than they ever did, especially if you go off the beaten track of radio and not have the same Radio 1, Radio 2, and you go down other areas, people go down TalkSport, LBC, and all the other kind of bits and bobs that you have around the world, Radio X and stuff like that. And then on top of it, the podcasts as well that come with these radio stations. It is a huge medium. It is a big medium, and it's doing really, really well. And I think for business, it's a good way of putting across your thoughts, your ideas. This podcast, It Starts With You, it isn't just about It Starts With Other People, it starts with me as well and my thoughts and my ideas. And I've slightly shied away from the original kind of thought process of doing this. It was just about guests. But I think you should always do other things as well with your podcast. I think you should add more flair to it. And as long as people can see what you're up to and what you're doing, then people will listen. That's my theory. So I thought I would do what's been happening in Mark's world this week kind of podcast. And that's the other thing as well about doing this podcast, is which is what's been happening in my world. This week I had slated four videos to make. I've got the scripts ready to go. Business videos, not comedy ones or the Markverse, if you're alluded to any of the stuff I've done. Some of them are on my YouTube. But these are... I've gone back through my library of videos and I've looked at what videos I've done and I'm not happy with, but I put out anyway and they seem okay. And as you grow with your content or with your business, you gain more insight and more information. And that's what I would be looking at this week, is the content, the information, and kind of what I put out there. So it never happened, by the way. I never ever recorded this week. I've been pretty busy doing things. Business has been, and this is what I'm going to come to in a second, why I'm recording this podcast this week. The headlining thought, as you see on the headline of this podcast, about one man bands. But yeah, you pretty much get busy, and recording a video takes up to an hour, let's say, if you don't kind of screw up and don't hit record by accident. I mean, you could, a 10-minute video should take you 30 minutes to record. That's kind of how it looks like. But you can, if you've got four or five videos to do back to back, I recommend do as many as possible. Have a change of clothing as well, so it looks like you've done on different days and not a sound. No, I've done that before. I'm trying to, and my other tip as well, you have a clean background behind you as well. I've got guitars behind me because this is my little office and my little man cave at the same time. But yeah, if you can have a nice clean background behind you as well, it's a little less distracting, and do as many different cuts. And I have two cameras, so I like to cut between cameras and try to put things on the screen at the same time. That's the new me. The old me just used to have me ranting at a screen, and I started with a GoPro, like a really cheap GoPro, you know, the ones you can get from Asda. It was like 40 quid, and that was a great little cut camera because it didn't need to be quality, it just needed to be something to make the cut different. So all that editing, doing all that could take hour to 2 hours. If you get a phone call halfway through it, or someone emails you, work takes priority and that gets pushed to one side. But sadly, I haven't had a chance to film this week. So that's why I love the recorded medium of a podcast, because I go into Spotify, that's what I use, hit record, bang a bit of music in the background, does it automatically for me to dip in and everything, so I don't have to worry about that. Save episode, write a little bit about it, and hit go. And it sends it out, and it takes 24 hours for it to get out to Google and Apple and stuff like that. And then once you got it out there, copy and paste the link and put it in your social media, you know, and put that voice out there. And a great thing about my podcast as well, they go up on my podcast on my website as well, little podcast tab on my website as well. So that, to me, I'm trying to sell your podcast here. Not everyone will want to do one, but to me, I think it's a differentiator today, getting your voice out there, getting your thoughts out there, and people hearing who you are. Because I think sometimes this as well, you know, in any business, doesn't matter if it's recruitment, people can hear your voice, see what you do. I believe, and I've done this a lot of times with various companies, you could get to know someone before you've met them, and then it's not so much about having the trust ready there to go, but you've kind of like, you've got an idea of that person before you've met them. And I think it's coming down that, what does Google call it? Google calls it zero something. But Google has a name for it. And it's gone out of my head. I've actually written a bloody blog about it years ago as well. Zero Moment of Truth. That's it. That's what it's called. The Zero Moment of Truth. And that is basically, you know, people call it the sales funnel, and it's putting people down the sales funnel. I like the idea, sphere of influence around you. And that sphere of influence is like, when people enter into that sphere of influence, they learn about you before they've even spoken about you. And then you've got another sphere of influence closer to yourself where people do know you. So you're trying to expand out. And this is what movie stars do. This is what brand awareness is and all this kind of stuff. It's this pushing out that grey sphere of influence so people can understand what you do. And most people that enter into that sphere of influence that want to follow you will then enter the next level of that sphere of influence. By the way, these levels of sphere of influence is my idea, not Google's. They just have one sphere around you. I have several different spheres. And once they get through these different spheres, they get into this zone then in which they're happy to buy from you and happy to work with you or happy to use your services or whatever it can be, because they've gone through all those different levels of listening to you, watching your podcasts, and doing all these things. Watching your podcasts? Well, you can watch podcasts if you want. But listening to your podcasts, reading your articles, listening to you on social media, reading your posts. And it's all a part of building a profile of who you are before someone buys from you. And I'm a massive believer in that, because I think it's all about trust. And if you can help build the steps of trust along the way, it could be pulled from right under you if you don't do what you say you're going to do. So you could basically lose all that credibility if you don't do what you say you're going to do. So it's a tightrope to walk. You've got to be who you say you are. I like the fact that this is an act. I'm not acting me. I'm acting the business version of me. And then when you meet me in real life, I'm a totally different guy. This is me. This is how I talk to people. This is how I act. Admittedly, there's one part of me you sometimes get to see on social media, which is the sarcastic side of me. But that's just all fun and games. And I do love to make people smile, make people, you know, I do love comedy. I do love the entertainment side of brand awareness, but also I do like the serious side of it. I do like to have a serious conversation about business and about how things are going, and the manufacturing world is to me my life at the moment. And always has been. Engineering always has been. But, you know, having serious conversations with various people in the engineering world, especially clients and candidates, and as well as complete and utter strangers on the internet, on LinkedIn, that I always get to speak to. So yeah, I think I just spent 10 minutes selling you podcasts there. Do your own, don't ask me. I've just got a microphone and talk. I hit record. That's all you've got to do. It's a little bit more than that. There are things you've got to work out what to say. I have like I have a bullet point of about 5 or 6 things before going into any podcast, even if it's someone else's podcast. I now do that, and it's just being a little bit prepared for people moving forward, basically. So, why am I moaning about one-man bands? I am not. What I'm moaning about... excuse my chair as I move myself around, as I prepare myself to talk into this microphone a little less relaxed than I normally am. I said something on the internet this week. And that thing I said on the internet... My emails are going to make a noise in a minute. That thing I said on the internet was... in contrary to belief of what's going on in the recruitment world this year, I believe, and a couple of my colleagues in the industry believe, it's been a busy year. It's been a positive year. It's been a year-on-year growth. It's not been phenomenal growth, don't get me wrong. You know, we're staring down the barrel of GDP of virtually flat in the UK at this moment in time. The recruitment industry is saying the same thing. Big companies are saying the same thing. But from a SME small business perspective, or as I like to call us, micro businesses, we've worked hard. We've maneuvered in the marketplace to make sure that we stay in the black, basically, and not so worried about the red. And this year has proven to me that in order to continue winning business, and in order for you to continue putting bums on seats, as we say in the recruitment world, you've got to be adaptive. And that's always been a thing. I think you can get lazy over the years and say you're adaptive to change and adaptive to things, but until you need to face it and deal with it, it is what it is. You know, it is something that we keep saying to people. And then you do it, and it's hard, and I've had to create plan after plan after plan. In fact, at one point this year, I had four different plans. Four times I rewrote the same plan, I should say. And it's worked, and you've just got to keep adjusting. You can't have the same plan all the time, though. A couple of my colleagues in the industry, which are struggling, have had to get rid of people, and the plan then is adjusted that they have to now jump on the desks, or someone else has to jump on the desk and deal with the problems of the day-to-day of those desks. And that's pretty much what recruitment's been like this year. So I disagreed with someone on this on LinkedIn and said, look, you could say that about the big companies are struggling and are not making money, but the small companies are growing year on year and we are doing okay. And I think along the lines of, I'm not interested in hearing what one-man bands have to say. And that encapsulates in my mind the true lack of disrespect for micro-businesses in the UK. And let me give you a quick story. When I first heard this as an insult, and ever since then, every time I hear it, I always think it's an insult. Whether they mean it genuinely, as, oh, you're just one guy in a business, which I'll come to in a bit as well, why I'm not just one guy in a business. I'm actually quite a lot more than just one guy in a business, but I'll tell you about that in a second. And the future of what I think businesses are doing, and the future of my business, and so forth. But let's go back to the first insult. Someone had called me once, it was back in like 2017, 2018, to offer me a service for my business. And I said at the time, because I was only like a year in, to my business, about a year and a half in, I said to them, look, financially, I still got invoices out. I'm heading down the right route. The business plan is working. I'm achieving what I set out to achieve, but I have not got staff and I have not got capital reserves then to invest in what you're suggesting. And he said, so what, is it just you on your own then? I said, yes, just myself on my own. Oh, you're a one-man band then. I'm not interested in one-man bands. And didn't hang up per se, just said, thank you very much for your time and goodbye. But I kind of come out of that conversation, and the way he said that to me was like, I'm in the wrong for being a person that started a business and trying to grow. And I get certain products out there are not meant for you. What I think, and someone later on when I told them this story, I said to them, you know, I this guy, you know, called me one-man band. It actually really annoyed me the way he said it, the way he kind of put it across. And he said, well, it's because people like you, I was like, oh, fuck, what does that mean? It's because people like you that are really good at social media and good at putting yourself out there look bigger than you actually are. But the reality is you're not as big as they want you to be. So they get frustrated. They didn't do their own due diligence and then insulted you with that kind of comment, with that way of putting it across. I think it's a good explanation. Whether this is the truth or not, I don't know. I think some people just don't like the fact that there's a recruitment agency that's at the time a year and a half into the business and hasn't quite got what they wanted, not what I wanted, let alone. So that I know it doesn't sound like much, but to me, calling a business like mine, a micro business like mine, a one-man band, is frustrating. And even calling it a startup some 8 years on now I am, is still insulting, because it's not a startup, because I have established clients now. I've got regular business coming from various companies. I'm working on various companies at the moment with two or three vacancies a month at some points. So it's enough to keep you going, and you know, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, so you're always trying to deal with the business development side of it at the same time. Which leads me on to, are you really a one-man band? And the answer is, I may be one person, but I'm spinning different plates all the time. And on top of that, that email that you just heard in the background has just come from my accountant, Jordan. Look, absolutely amazing guy over at Isotope Capital. And the whole company is amazing. And the way they work is like a part of my business. And we will have banter still. We will have jokes. We will have, you know, I'll go down and see them sometimes, which is where my business is registered. And we'll, you know, have a chinwag almost a day. And it's like being in my own office, or a part of their part of my business, and I'm a part of their business. Even though we're two separate entities, I don't own any of their business and they don't own any of my business. It's just a service that they provide, is counseling and some back office functions at the same time. So am I really a one-man band? No. Jordan does my credit control. Jordan does my invoicing. So, Jordan does my managed accounts. Jordan does my tax. Jordan does my VAT. Jordan even does my self-assessments as well. And obviously they'll have accountants that manage the accountants that do all the other bits and bobs as well for their businesses. So for their other ventures that they work with as well. So there's not just Jordan, there's a few others there. So, and then if I got problems, legal problems, if I got issues, I go and speak to Max over there and have a chat with those guys. So am I a one-man band? No, I'm not. I have a team of people with me, and I can rely upon them as well to give me some information that I might need to know about the marketplace, that they've got other ventures saying the same thing, and they correlate the information. And sometimes, you know, when we have that conversation, say, well, what are the other guys thinking? I also have a group of guys that I work with. So I won't mention their names because I haven't asked them to mention their names. I know Max and Jordan doesn't mind me mentioning them because it's great press for them to hear this as well, and I'm pretty sure they'll put this out there at the same time. But I have a couple of guys. I run a little group called the Recruiters Arms. It used to be a fairly big group. It's got smaller, but we grow it and then it shrinks because people come and go. This is what happens with these groups. If you're ever thinking of starting up a recruitment group for free, and you just want people to come and just talk recruitment, people come, people go, egos, attitudes, everything clashes, people have conversations, people don't, people just come and stand and stare. It is what it is. But a couple of those guys have become very good friends of mine, and we've done business together. And this year I did a 50-50 with one of them, and we won, and we did a really good 50-50. Last year I did a 50-50 with another guy. I've had a couple of 50-50s passed over to me, but sadly they've been filled quicker than we could find people. So we work together as a little team at the same time, and we sometimes tap each other up and say, look, does anyone know any ideas with regards to what I could do with this role, or I've got this problem and can you give me an idea what I could write in an email, or how could I approach this, or how could I do this, or how could I do that? And all these things that we do as a group feels like you're working as a part of a load of other people at the same time. Am I still a one-man band? I may be sitting in an office on my own, but I have reach, very much like a very large company does, into different pots of people. Pots, is that the right areas? Groups? There we go, groups. Let's call it. I like pots, by the way. Different groups of people. So, you know, there's my guys over there that can give me advice, give me ideas, give me thoughts. And then there's my guys over there that can help me with the tax side of things and even legal side of things and problematic issues I may come across along the way. Then there's the close friends that you have that are self-employed as well and run their own little businesses as well. And you can tap them up and I'm not a part of any of the other groups at the same time. So am I still a one-man band? And I think that one-man band insult is put at people that, and I've come across this saying as well, oh, he's just running a lifestyle business. Well, isn't every self-employed person running a lifestyle business anyway? Unless they go to two or three people, which I'll come to in a second, why that's a bigger step than you think it is. Unless you come to, everyone is. I work from 8 a.m. in the morning to 6 p.m., 8 p.m., 9 p.m., whatever time I've got, you know, if I'm recording something or I'm working on something, I'm headhunting, I need candidate calls, and that's 5 days a week. Then on the weekends, I don't really speak to many people, but sometimes I get the old call. And when I go on holiday, I get calls still because it's a weekday. So I still have to pick up the phone and I still have to follow through with some stuff. So, you know, like I said, that whole spinning plates thing. And then also then on top of the spinning plates, you've got marketing, your social media, business development, and your recruitment part of it. And still building plans. I sit here every month with a whiteboard in front of me going, right, what did I achieve last year? Last week? And what do I need to achieve this week? What do I need to do? And in an ever-growing harder and harder market to work in, you've got to have a plan. You've got to work it out. So, spinning plates constantly in that sense. So am I still a one-man band? It's just a lifestyle business. And that's the other insult. And that's where a lot of recruitment businesses, especially the ones which, oh my God, here we go. this might be where the podcast either gets switched off or people listen intently more and share it. I don't know. The difference between me as a director and a director of a large recruitment agency, I started this business, they didn't. Unless they did. That's a different matter. Let's pretend the person that's running the business is the person that started it, and the person that's now classed as a director come up through the ranks or got hired in. We're two different jobs. We're completely two different jobs. And we're privy to two different types of information as well. As the size of a company changes, the director's role changes. 100%. When you have someone that's saying, I'm not interested in speaking to one-man bands, they're basically saying your opinion isn't valid as Joe Bloggs' business over here, which has 200 people working for them. Now, apparently Joe Bloggs' business with 200 people working for them, and he's the director of that company, he's privy to the information that I am, or more, that I can see, which is remotely true. Remotely true. And some people need to understand that I've worked for corporate recruitment. And one specifically, I won't mention their name, the people above you as a business manager, area manager may be a bit more closer to the ground, but then you start going into higher echelons of a large corporate recruitment business, their visual range becomes longer and further and less detailed. So they may have a macro version of events on their business, but micro things are all right, or certain elements are okay. It's not all bad. You know, if your business is 20% down, that doesn't mean to say the market has knocked you 20% back. It could be the fact that each desk has lost 2%. Or, you know what I mean? Did you see where I'm going with this? And that macro view sometimes doesn't give you the real, real actual situation of what's going on. You might have lost 20% of your staff because an agency next door opened up. Does that mean the market has gone? No, it doesn't. It just means you've lost 20% of your staff, and that 20% is now gone next door, and they're going to be 20% up at the end of the next year. This is the problem with kind of looking at that large macro. I think you need to look at all of it as an entirety, not just cherry pick the businesses you think are going to give you the information you need. And it's an entirety of the recruitment industry. And I think this is why micro business owners like myself are, I think we're the most agencies. I think more one-man bands, as they like to call us. There's more of us than there is of the larger businesses, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 plus, basically, people. And like I said, your role as a director changes from size to size of each company. And if you're on the ground billing director, then you're going to know a lot more than the guy that's sitting in the 200 plus kind of director position, 200 plus staff director position. So that's kind of where it lies. On the same vein as one man band as well. And this is the other part of one man bands, the insult it is. Oh, so what, Samara, you can't afford to hire staff? Is kind of, that's been said to me once before. I've blocked that person on LinkedIn, by the way, because they're not a very nice person. But they are nonetheless wrong. A lot of people like myself, I started in 2016. That year of 2016, in the June, Brexit happened. Everyone voted for Brexit. And in the manufacturing industry, gets a little bit nervous when things change and they can't have consistency and things don't happen the way they went to plan. But luckily, 2016, 2017, 2018, into a tiny piece of 2019, it was normal growth. Everything was going really, really well. And then Boris Johnson came along, and then there's that whole flip-flopping throughout 2019. When's Brexit? Oh, it's going to happen in 3 months' time. When's Brexit is going to happen? Oh, it's going to happen end of August. When's Brexit going to happen? Oh, end of October. When's Brexit going to happen? Oh, end of December. When's Brexit going to happen? And it just kept getting moved along, which slowed things down. And in that 2019 year, it was probably the worst year I've ever seen in recruitment, if I'm honest with you. Not everyone had this, but the companies, the SME manufacturing companies, were back and forth. They were supplying into Europe, some of the guys I was working with. And they were seeing orders cut back because they didn't know what was going on, how much it was going to cost them. So that to and fro-ing caused a lot of problems. So what does that mean for me? That means for me that I'm not going to hit the plan I wanted to hit. And when I did hit to the point I wanted to hit, there were other kind of factors that were coaching in my mind in 2019 to hire people. And that was, where is this going? How long is it going to be like this? And are we going to, and is Project Fair really going to be the thing that causes the problem? And maybe Project Fair and all those kind of factors that came into play. I promise I won't try to talk too much politics on this, but it did play a part in this, by the way. Held you back a little bit, so you didn't. So my 2020 was meant to be hiring staff, or meant to be pushing forward into 2020 to look at that. And by February 2020, the market turned. Everything felt a little bit easier. Things got a little bit nicer. And jobs were getting filled, or offers were being put out. And then March 2020, as we all know what happened, the market changed. And that's when I don't know about you, I went into survival mode. So from between 2020 to today, there hasn't been a stable marketplace for me to consider. Now, a couple of my friends have expanded, and they found it hard. A couple of my friends have actually made redundancies in this last 12 months because they found it hard. The marketplace isn't what it used to be. So what does that mean for me? So for 8 years of running my business, the last 4 years, I've just been in survival mode, or just been in, you know, breaking even mode, keeping the business alive, focusing on what all the things that you need to focus on to keep your business moving forward. But luckily, year on year, slowly growing out of the doldrums that we were in a couple of years ago. And that means then for me to refocus, dust off that plan of expanding. And as I probably alluded to, you know, my plan at the moment is to look at 2025 as an area to start expanding. I don't know what business model to have yet, whether it's all 100% work from home or get an office, do hybrid. I don't know what to do, because between now and 2025, We may have a general election. We may be reintegrated into Europe. We don't know what Rishi Sunak wants to do to make business better. There may be tax cuts. There may be tax hikes. We don't. So what does that mean for us all? Well, that basically means that, or for me, not for us all, basically means that I've got to keep a plan, I've got to keep a trajectory, and I've got to hope to God in 18 months to 2 years' time, I am on that plan of trajectory. Coming back to the lifestyle business part of this at the same time, the personal side of my life and why it's hard to go from one moment. For me personally, a few people might have the same thing as well. You've got a life. I've got children. I've got an older boy that's 11, is in secondary school, so he's on autopilot now to go to school every day. And then I've got a little one who's 2.5, and he's 3 in January, and he starts school in September 2024, the preschool first, and then he goes off to the primary school early years, whatever it's called. And for me, between now and then, it's working around childcare as well, because sometimes I get the odd day where I need to have a couple of hours with him because the wife's going to bed because she's got a night shift that night or something like that. So you've got to work around these things, and having an office and staff I might not be able to commit to because there's no one to look after the little one unless the in-laws come in. And that's when I could do the hours I want to do. So there's a lot of juggling, and I thought consciously, I've got to fit the business as well as the family around each other the best I can, and spin those other extra plates that you've got to do. So reflecting on, you're just a lifestyle business, you're just a one-man band. For me, not only is it insultative, but it's not understanding the bigger picture of what someone like myself is trying to achieve. And I do speak for a few other people in this industry that are in very similar circumstances, that take this job extremely serious and have a damn good profile out there in the social media world. So until the greatest respect to some people, I think some people that call you one-man bands or lifestyle businesses are probably not business owners, or probably never been business owners. And the greatest respect to them, I think they don't know what they're talking about. I really don't think they understand how this works. A lot of businesses start with £0 in the bank, and then it's basically the skill of that person to go and make money. A lot of businesses start with investors, and they grow rapidly or fail rapidly because the expectations are not there. So if you haven't got cash injection, things take longer. And if you've got no experience to grow in a business, things take a little longer. And I think the respect there is, they're working hard. If you're in business and you've been in business longer than 2 years, you've done freaking really well. It's hard. I've seen recruitment agencies start up in 2016, 2017, that died by 2019. I think I've witnessed in the region about 20, 30 of them, some of them in my sphere. I know big companies that had 9, 10, 15, 20, 30, up to 40 people, some of them gone in the last 5 years. Completely gone. Now it's disappeared. Some have been bought out, and that looks like an absolute faff. Some have moved offices to a different part of Birmingham or London or wherever it is, and lost half the staff because the location they moved to they can't get to, or it's too far for a standard commute. So we got all these factors as well for some people when they're running the business. And I know three businesses that got from 5 or 6 staff to none, to just them on their own. So yeah, we got to stop that insultative one-man band bullshit, basically, is what I'm trying to say. So yeah. Anyway, thanks for listening. I'm sorry I ranted at you for 30-something minutes. Sorry for a little gap just a second ago as well. The recording stopped and I had to re-record. Thanks for listening. Yeah, thank you. And let me know. Fill out in the comments if you get to the comment section. Or I will put another survey with this particular podcast on Spotify. And let me know if you want to hear more of Mark's thoughts in and about It Starts With You podcast. It's been great talking to your ears. Take care. Bye-bye.